Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kids in cages, kids in tents, kids in modular structures with bars on the windows. I guess it's what you call it, because the Biden administration is saying they're absolutely not following the policy of the Trump administration. Let's talk to Mike Howell about it. He's the senior advisor for government relations at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, thank you for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What do you think about what you hear Ducey saying there and the question that he asked Jen Psaki? And the most important thing, clearly, that Jen Psaki wants us to know, the American public, is that they're not doing what Trump did. That's the key that we're supposed to take away from her response there.
Well, God bless Peter Ducey. It seems like he's the only one in that room asking tough questions. Makes you wonder how long they're going to really let him stay. But, I mean, it's the nail on the head. I mean, the Biden administration is dealing with the reality of what you have to do. I mean, it was always this kind of moral panic that the left drove about the kids in cages type narrative. But, you know, the solution to it is either you let everyone in or you don't. You have to hold people in places if you don't let them all in. And so that was the false choice that, you know, Democrats wanted to give Donald Trump when he was in charge, is, you know, don't hold anyone, just let them all in. And the Biden administration's realizing they got a huge crisis on their hands. And that's because it's the crisis they made. They basically campaigned on, we're going to do the opposite of what Trump did and open the borders. Well, guess what? Everyone south of the border heard that, and they're coming. And so now they're facing the reality. And even if you want to transfer these kids as fast as possible into HHS facilities, that's the agency that DHS hands them off to, when they then get placed with these, you know, charities, families, et cetera, well, guess what? You don't just, you know, tell them, hey, go find a charity or a family. You got to hold them somewhere to get them to that place. And so it's just the reality. I mean, I think CBP is, you know, doing what they should be doing. They got to stand up these places. They got to hold these kids. But the reality is the kids shouldn't be coming in the first place. These are parents that are sending these children on dangerous journeys, you know, across desert and the cold in the hands of smugglers and sexual abusers and criminals. They shouldn't be in this place in the first place. And so as long as we keep taking kids in and moving them throughout the country, and you're setting them up, they're going to keep sending their kids here. So it's, you know, an unsustainable problem.
Yeah.
Mike Howell is with Heritage Foundation. He's senior advisor for government relations. You know, in that clip, Jen Psaki did make another distinction that I figured I'd ask you about since she was making it. She said that the Biden administration is not separating kids from their families, and the Trump administration was doing that at the border. Is that absolutely the case, or is there a little more nuance to that?
Well, there's a lot more nuance to it. So basically the whole issue with family separation is that there's this judge out in California that oversees what's called this Flores Settlement Agreement. It's this thing that was entered into by, I think, the Clinton administration initially. And it's been modified over the years. And some of the more recent modifications, you know, from the judges basically say you cannot hold a child for more than 20 days. And so what happens then if a parent comes to your child, what do you do with the parent when you have to release the child in 20 days? So if you release the child to keep the parent, you know, there is family separation. And so that's what was happening under the Trump administration. And then ultimately they decided, you know, after the moral panic in the country that, okay, we'll just have to, you know, let them both go. And so that's the Biden administration is just letting everyone go. So, I mean, to the extent that I wouldn't say they're doing family separation policy per se, although every single time you detain an adult, you're by definition separating them from their family, whether it's you or I going out getting a DUI, we're in jail and away from our kids. And so to that extent, there is family separation occurring, but it's, you know, their modus operandi is just release everyone as fast as possible into the interior So, I mean, the only families they're separating are the families of Americans who become victims of illegal alien crime.
We're speaking with Mike Howell, who is the Senior Advisor for Government Relations at the Heritage Foundation. I want to talk about just the, because words matter here, clearly. I think campaigns have been won on these specific words. Kids in cages. And, you know, you look at the facilities that they're putting these children in now, and there's definitely been pictures that have been painted in the imaginations of voters all across this country about what they look like during the Trump administration. Then you hear people say, well, ask about when those cages were actually built. And then you find out that the Obama administration is implicated in the whole process. What are these cages, and how are we accommodating the children that come here from across the border? What are we doing as a country to care for them?
Right. So I think the first thing to note is no country is more hospitable, generous, has higher standards for care than the United States. In fact, you know, when a lot of these kids are placed in temporary holding facilities, it's better than any of the conditions in their home countries. It's the first time they'll see a dentist or a doctor, you know, have access to you know, air conditioning, food, all the basic necessities, above and beyond, honestly, what you'd encounter if you were locked up in a local jail cell. These are holding facilities designed for children. I was in the Trump administration, you know, when a lot of this was going on. And one of the things that killed me is just a lot of it, frankly, fake news about this issue. I mean, we hosted members of Congress to come down and check out these facilities because, you know, all the rhetoric in the media were these were filthy, unsanitary, terrible places. That's not true. And, you know, we even did as much. We took members to around the facilities and said, look, here's a room where, you know, stocked to the brim with toothbrushes and toothpaste, because there was a whole couple days on CNN where all they were talking about is how kids weren't able to brush their teeth. And so we said, hey, guys, come check it out. Here are all the toothbrushes and toothpaste. Like, that is not a problem here. Here are the doctors. Here are the places we have video games for them to play. Here's, you know, the food situation, all the supplies we had. And, you know, that doesn't work because, as you noted, it's a political thing. And, you know, if you showed the members of Congress and all these things, you'd think they would be like, okay, these places aren't, you know, what they're being said to be on CNN. Nope. They go out and they go on interviews on CNN and say, I saw the facility. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. So, I mean, obviously, at that point in time in the Trump administration where the moral panic was really incited over this, it was just completely removed from fact and reality. You aren't going to see that in the coverage of these facilities now. But the basic issue is this. The left just doesn't want anyone to be detained in immigration proceedings at all because they want everyone to get in the country as fast and quickly as possible, there to be no interruptions in that process. And why do they want to do that? They want to do that because it thinks ultimately it gets them more votes, more dependence on government programs, accelerates a lot of the changes they want to see in this country. And so ultimately, they got a hard issue in front of them. Either you go zero detention and you let everyone in and basically cede control of the border, or you have to do some. And right now they're between a rock and a hard place because they decried the Trump administration for doing any. And so whatever they do, they're going to be massive hypocrites on. But I'm just thankful at least there are some facilities being set up by CBP that recognize that you need to do something.
Yeah.
Mike Hollow is with Heritage Foundation. As Annie said, we hone in on that phrase, kids in cages, because it's been thrown around so much for the last 4 years or so. But my question for you is, in your professional opinion, you know, this is a much, much bigger issue than that one topic, which is associated with the immigration issue at the southern border. Is this issue going to get actually worse, whether they're in cages or they're in tents or they're in modular little buildings? Is this issue going to get worse under a Biden administration that's not enforcing immigration law, or will the things that they're doing right now actually make that issue better?
Well, it's going to get worse for the simple reason that the green light is on and blaring, you know, down to Central America saying, come in, come in, come in. And so the numbers are, we're already seeing massive upticks. There's no crisis coming. We're already in crisis mode here. It's hard to tell because we've been so desensitized over the years to, you know, all these different border surges and issues at the border. It's hard to, you know, put it in proper context. But this one is really bad, and it's getting a lot worse because the largest amnesty, which is the forgiveness of, you know, all consequences, and you get to become a citizen and all benefits you'd want in history is about to be given out or at least proposed. And so just the absolute swarm at the border, along with the fact that the Biden administration has ceased cooperation with Central American countries, which, frankly, the Trump administration strong-armed into finally doing something, whether it was forcing Mexico to, you know, hold people who were applying for asylum there while the claims are being adjudicated. And the reason they did that is because most of the claims are false. And so they're really not doing anything to mitigate the incoming. And so if the incoming continues to increase and you don't have any of these enforcement or security measures or deterrents, of course it's going to get worse. And I don't think that the country has an appetite for full-on open borders and just release everyone into the interior. So that involves some modicum of detention and processing. And we have learned that that is unacceptable to the base on the left, that's any bit of that. There are no facilities that will ever be sufficient for them. I mean, even when, you know, illegal alien children are released into the interior, folks are upset about the, you know, charities and facilities and homes they're placed in after that. And I'm talking about conditions well above of what we have for foster homes for American children in many cases. And so it's really not a solution in sight. If I'm the Biden administration, I don't know how you thread the needle between those two things. You either remove every last consequence and release everyone, you know, free of charge into the interior, or you do something. And it's obvious that even the littlest bit of something is too much for the far left.
Mike, you know, when I think about this issue, it's so complicated. There's so much emotion that is involved in immigration and the question of illegal immigration. And that emotion is what gets amplified in the political realm because people want to use that to retain power. But when you look at specifically this issue at the border, people who want to come here, who want the American dream, we have a way for people to attain that. That process exists. And it really comes down to, I think, that the foundation of how you're going to approach what we do with the southern border, how we look at what we are providing, because you made a great defense there about what we actually, how our generosity as a country, when people come here, they break our laws to come here, and then what we do for them when they get here. It all comes down to that attitude of, is America the victim or the victimizer in this instance? And when you have a mentality that is always rooted in America is the bad guy, you know, I hear you saying if you let them come here and you put them in this facility, it's not good enough. And then if you just let them come in and you immediately place them in a house, that house is not good enough. And you said something there that really, really gets to me, is the way that we treat our own American children who are for want, who don't have the things provided to them that these children will have provided for them, or the adults that come across and bring these kids here. I mean, to me, it really all comes down to, is America inherently the good guy or is America inherently the bad guy? And that seems to be many times divided right on the political line.
Yeah, you nailed it. Absolutely. And it makes you really stop and think, then why are they supporting this class of illegal aliens above and beyond their fellow American citizens? And it's in more ways than one, whether it's government programs, legal protections, political, just, you know, the top of their totem pole of, you know, political constituencies. So why? The question is why? Who in their right mind would support non-Americans over Americans, especially if you're a politician representing Americans? And the answer is really unfortunate, and it's extremely political. The answer is because they think that mass amnesty and voting rights expands their voting blocks. Now, I'm not saying every illegal alien, if given the right to vote, will vote, you know, that way. But I'll tell you this, that's what the left thinks, and that's why they're doing this. In the immigration bill Biden rolls out, believe it or not, they want to give amnesty to about 3 to 5 million of the total, 11 to 20 they want to give amnesty, so about a quarter of the total, will be eligible to vote in 2024 for the presidential election. Now, is that a coincidence? I've never heard in my life of a suggestion to truncate the citizenship process just to get as many people in, you know, Texas, Florida, et cetera, you know, eligible to vote. It is all because Kamala Harris thinks it'll help her get elected in 2024, and it'll help them flip, you know, Texas and Florida, you know, blue permanently. And so it's just, you know, Trump was impeached the first go around for allegedly trading national security for political favors in that Ukraine phone call. That's what they allege. Now, I see no functional difference between opening America's borders and trading our national security on such a wide scale for what they think are political votes. It's the ultimate betrayal of the American voters and their duty to protect this country to basically just open our borders because they think it's a political benefit to them. And I think more people need to talk about it in those terms. That's exactly what's happening and why they're doing it.
Mike Heil, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.